Tonight's shiur for Parshas Chaye Sara. Begin with the story of an elderly woman. After she lost her husband, she felt very lonely. She had no children, didn't have too many friends. So she decided to befriend some stray cats that lived in her area. And said befriended them, gave them food, what to eat, what to drink, and she was mamish. She took care of these cats, mesiras nefesh. As we know, one cat leads to another and to another, and she had like a whole group of cats which she would take care of, and that helped her with her loneliness. Anyways, one point she decided that the apartment that she was living in, which was fairly large, it was unnecessarily so, and she decided to rent out her the place she was living in, and to rent a smaller place. That's all she needed. So she looked around. She found in a nearby area a basement apartment. And the Balabais, fine, in agreement for a year, signed a contract, and she moved in. Very nice little place. However, with the woman came her cats. And although the cats didn't go into the actual, you know, courtyard, which was fenced off, but they were all gathered around the outside of the fence. So sure enough, the Balabais gets up in the morning, wants to open the door to his, courtyard, and he sees a whole slew of Italian of cats. And he put two and two together, and he realized that these cats are a result of his new tenant, this elderly woman. So, naturally, he approached her and told her, "Listen, I'm very, very sorry, but you have to get rid of the cats. Because if you don't get rid of the cats, I'm going to have to get rid of you. And we have to renege on the contract. And in fact, I have a right to," he claimed, "because, it's mechachtos. I didn't know that these cats came along with you when I rented you my place." The woman on the other end countered and said, "Listen, these cats are, trained by me very nicely, and they're not going to hurt anybody, and not only that, they're not going to go into the courtyard, which is fenced off, so I have every right to keep my friends, the cats, here." That was a shaila that was brought up. The question is, who is correct? Shaila was brought to Rav Silberstein, and he says that the rule is with all these types of shailas that we go after the minhag ha'olam. We see the way people live, as it's in lashon of the Gemara, is k'dayrei inchi, as people live. And the Shulchan Aruch says in Choshen Mishpat Siman Kuf Samech Aleph, says if we have a courtyard where there's a number of people living, then and one of them wants to, raise chickens in the courtyard, so we go by what the norm is. If it's abnormal to do so, then any one of the people, of the tenants in the courtyard, is allowed to protest, and the person has to either stop what he's doing or leave. That's the halacha. So, that being the case, over here, if it's true that it's not just one or two cats, but it's a whole litter of cats, then even though it's outside of the chatzer per se, but it seems reasonable that most people would be makpid, that they wouldn't have just outside their house a whole slew of cats, and it's bothersome or whatever. Therefore, in fact, we say that this man, the Balabait, has a right, according to the accepted minhag, to again tell the woman if she wants to stay, she has to get rid of her cats. If not, she must leave, based on a mekachtaus. That's what the final psak was. Next shaila also has a connection to mekachtaus and also with living quarters. First of all, makdim the words of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, in his Tzava, he says the following: Lo yistam adam chalono petach legamri. A person is not allowed to close up an existing opening in his house, a door, a window, whatever it might be. Why? Says Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, shelo yaziku ashedim. So the demons, the shedim, shouldn't damage the person. Ki darkan letzepo, because the shedim, they leave through these openings. And if you close up the opening, then they're liable to cause damage. You're not letting them leave. And therefore, says Rabbi Yechasi, yale yinkov bo nekev. You should make a hole so you can close up the window, the door, but you have to make sure there's a little hole for the shadim to leave. And a Shilas and Shuvas, Chachal Yitzchak, writes that if the person who closed up the hole is not there, and in other words, he's, let's say, the Balabais, he's renting the house or whatever to somebody else, and he then, therefore, the one that made the closed up the hole is not around, and then the shadim are going to damage the person who's there. Because he says, Shelav Nevim Heim Ladas Mi Satam. Because these shadims are not prophets, that they say, oh, well, we're not going to damage him because he didn't close up, he closed the hole. And the shadim don't know, and therefore whoever's living there is liable to be damaged. Okay, that's the background to this shaila. So what happened? You can probably already guess. There was once a yid, call him Shimon, and he offered up his apartment, house, whatever, for rent. So along comes Reuven and says, oh, I'd like to rent your place. And they make an agreement, sign a shtar, 2 years. Ready the first day when Reuven moves in with his family, some neighbor or whatever approaches him and says, you know, I'd just like to let you know something for your own good. So Reuven bumps into one of the neighbors and says, you know, I'd just like to let you know that the Balabais, Shimon, had made some structural changes in the house not so long ago before he, you know, decided to rent it out. And he closed up a number of holes, he made changes here and there, moved walls, whatever. And some of the windows, some of the doors were closed up. And I felt, I have to tell you as a concerned neighbor, that this is the matzav that what you're living in, and you know what the Yehuda Chassid says. Well, when Reuven heard that, he was very, very upset and worried, and he came running to Shimon the Balabai, and he said, "Mekachtaus, it's not fair. You say you rented, you didn't say anything. You rented, and you closed up these holes." Again, he could make holes in the walls or whatever where these things were closed up, but the Balabai was not interested. And in fact, when he now Shimon, he admitted that he closed up everything, but he said that, listen, you can show me something wrong with the apartment, you know, then physically wrong. Okay, I'll cancel our contract. But come on, what do you worry about? Shadium and nothing wrong. Apartment looks good. It's clean. It's nice. So I'm not mevatle anything, and don't think about it again. We're making any holes in any walls either. So that was the shaila that was brought again to Reb Zilberstein. What do we say about this? Well, at first glance, the Shulchan Aruch says that if you sell something to somebody that's aser, so that's grounds for mekachtaus. No, he didn't realize that something wrong with it. It's something that's aser. So that's a ground to cancel the deal. And not only if it's an iser minator, it can be an iser de rabbanan, and not only that, it could be even a chumra, something a chumra that people are knowing, and the buyer or whatever didn't realize that this thing, you know, was not according to his chumra that he's knowing. He also can cancel it, because as long as it's a bona fide minhag, you know. So that's also, that being the case, it seems to be over here that, look, there's something wrong with this house. There's a quote-unquote iser about, you know, close the doors were closed, whatever. And therefore, he has a right to renege on the deal. However, Rav Zilberstein said that's not the case. He said he cannot claim mechach taus over here. Why? He says that even though lichachila one should be makpid, you know, not to close up, we said, the windows, the doors, etc. However, b'di'evid, once it is already, and it's not enough grounds to call to say mechach taus, because as he says, it's known that today the koach of the shadim are much, much weaker than they used to be than in the times of the Gemara. And in fact, there's a Shilas and Shubas Yehuda Yala that writes that the early Amoraim already, Hechrimu Shlo Yiram Ezekim Ben Abrios, they already made a type of a cherem that made sure that these shadim shouldn't be amongst people, and therefore you don't really have to worry so much about them. And the Gemara, in fact, in Pesachim Kuf Yud Beis, says that Abaye Gireshet Kol HaMezikim, he got rid of all these Mezikim. So therefore, it's not such a serious problem today. And another rule, so we have in similar, like we said before, when it comes to Mevatling a Mechach, that the Shulchan Aruch says in Reish Lamed Beis, Kol Shi Skimu Ala B'nei Medina Shumum Shemachzirim Bo Mechach Zem Machzirim. Again, it goes like the Minhag. People, in general, your average person would say, yeah, this is a problem, this is something wrong, that then you go by the general Minhag. And again, here, most people are not going to be so makpid on it and say, oh, terrible. You know, I'm not going to look at it like that, the average person. Therefore, as far as Minna goes, it doesn't fall into that category. Therefore, his bottom line, the halacha was, since most are not, at least b'di'evid, they're not so makpid on this inyan, therefore, Reuven, the renter, has no right to cancel the existing contract. Next, Shaila, also a follow-up. There was once a bacher, and he had some relatives that came to visit from Chutz Laretz, and they went to the Dead Sea for a vacation. They're vacationing there in a hotel, so they called them up and said, "Why don't you come visit?" So he said, "Fine." So Bacher went and went down to the Dead Sea. So by the time he got there, it was kind of late in the evening. So he arrived, and his relatives said, "Boy, you must be hungry. You know, you traveled all the way down here, and you guy came here late." And he said, "Yeah, I am quite hungry." So he said, "Well, you're in luck." He said, "Because we took from dinner a whole plate of food for you." Right, it's like all you can eat, you know, buffet. You know, take as much as you want. So we filled up a plate of a lot of goodies, and here it is. Presented it to him. So the bacher said, "Listen, you know, I really appreciate what you did, but I can't eat this." I said, "Why not?" He says, "Well, because it's not for me. It's for the, you know, the hotel guests, and I'm not a guest in the hotel, and so therefore I can't eat it." So they said, "Ah, what are you talking about?" They said, "You know, it's a buffet. You can take as much as you want. We could have taken 10 plates like this, you know, for ourselves. So since we can take for ourselves, so we took, well, not even take 10 plates for ourselves. We took one or two, and therefore we can take some for you. What's the big deal?" So he said, "I hear what you're saying, but that doesn't hold water halachically. You know, it's very nice, but no, the hotel does not want, you know, people that are not guests at the hotel from even their phone." Fine, finished. So what did they say back to him? They said, "Okay, fine. Okay, so now what?" He said, "Look, we have this plate of food. What do you want? What should we do? Right? We are not going to eat it. We're full. We just had a big dinner. No, we're not going to touch this thing. If we bring it back to the kitchen now at this hour, they're just going to dump it in the garbage. When they're going to eat it, they're going to save it for tomorrow. It's going to be dumped. So if it's left here, it's going to go in the garbage. We bring it back to the kitchen, it's going to go to the garbage. So why not just eat it? It's anyway, it's going to go to the garbage." So he thought, he heard, he's an interesting taina, and he felt, yeah, you know, bal tashchis, you know, why should this go into the garbage? And he ate it. However, afterwards, he had, you know, misgivings a little bit. He thought, I don't know, was that the right thing to do? Maybe, you know, maybe it's gezel, and maybe he owes this money of the meal to the hotel. So he asked the Shiloh. The answer that he was given was that, in fact, it is Gezel. He was not allowed to eat it, and he has to give the value of the meal to the hotel, because as long as, true, if it was in the garbage, thrown away, then it's half, anybody can take it, can eat it. But until it goes into the garbage, it's the possession of the property of the hotel, and somebody who's not a guest is not allowed to eat from it. So that was the conclusion. And he brings a very interesting source for this halacha, where a pasuk in Parshas Noach. It says in the pasuk that Hashem told Noach before he went into the Teva. So Hashem told Noach before he went to the Teva, V'yata kach lecha mikol ma'achal asher yechel v'yasafta elecha v'ya lecha v'lehem lechla. So he should take food. He's going to the Teva. He needs to have food for him, for himself and for the animals. So the Kli Yakar is medayik in the word lecha. He could have said v'yata kach mikol ma'achal. He says kach lecha. He says kach lecha means that make sure that the food you're going to take into the Teva now is your food. It's like lechaz, and we have the Arba meaning, has to be yours. It says, kachtem lechem, so it has to be lechem, has to be yours. Chach lecha means don't just take food, make sure the fruit is yours. So says the Kli Yakar, why did Hashem have to emphasize it has to be your food? Why? Because Noah could have made a cheshbon and said, look, why do I have to take my food? I can take anybody's food. These people are going to die in another day. The flood's happening tomorrow. Everybody's going to die. Goodbye, the people. Goodbye, food. Everything's going to be lost. So why can't I take it now? I mean, is anyways they're going to lose it? Says Hashem, no, kach lecha has to be yours. So here's the source to what we were saying before. That very nice. The food, once it's lost or gone or it's hefker, okay, you can take it. But until then, even though you know in the future it's going to be lost, but until it's lost, it still belongs to the owners. Maybe I'm mainly not allowed to take. Brings here a beautiful maisa. There was once a couple that lived many years in a kibbutz. And they were non Shomer Torah mitzvahs, and so they were able, through different sources, they hooked back onto their roots, and they were Chozer and Betshuva, this couple. And they saw, of course, their new lifestyle was not matim to live anymore on the kibbutz, so they moved to a shchuna charedit, right, a Haredi neighborhood, to continue their new life there. The husband, he became more and more religious as time went on. He grew very nicely. Truth is, his wife followed suit. She was also grew very nicely in her Yiddishkeit. However, the people that the Askanim that were dealing with this couple, helping them along with their new life, they came to a very difficult problem. And that was that even though this woman, like you said, was doing fine, the one thing she couldn't get away from was her habit of smoking. Now, okay, not the end of the world. The problem was not in general that she was smoking, but she would smoke on Shabbos. It was even when Shabbos rolled around, she couldn't hold herself back, and she had to smoke, even though she kept everything else, and she also kept Shabbos. But just when it came to smoking, she said the strangest thing was that not only that she feel like she had to smoke, she had such a strong push to have a cigarette when Shabbos came in. It was like more difficult than the entire week. And she just couldn't, of course they told her it's a terrible thing, bigavir, whatever. She goes, I know, I don't want to. She says, but I can't hold myself back. So they didn't know what to do. How are they going to handle it? Well, what could it be? What can they say? What can they do? So the Askanim decided to go to Rav Elyashiv and ask him, what's his take on it. So when he heard the story, he told them a very strange answer. He said, go and check into the lineage of this woman. Okay. So the Gadol HaDor tells you to do something, so you do it. So they went and they looked into it, and lo and behold, what did they find? That she's really not Jewish. How so? That her grandmother already was the one that came to the kibbutz many years ago, and she was a non-Jew. And she met a kibbutznik who wanted to marry her, but he was not interested in marrying a non-Jew. So they went to the kibbutz, you know, the secretary of the kibbutz, and the secretary of the kibbutz says, not a problem, I'll give you a conversion certificate, quote unquote. He gave her a little piece of paper, says, okay, you're Jewish now. And that was it. So she maybe thought she was Jewish, and married this kibbutznik, and had a girl, and this is now the granddaughter. But of course, if her mother and her grandma were not Jewish, so she's not Jewish either. But she didn't realize that. She thought she was Jewish. And they went back to Rabbi Yashem and told her the find. And he says, ah, you see, chaste Yashem. See how Hashem works. Why? He says, because Hashem saw how sincere this woman was, how she really wanted to change her life, and, you know, it was, honest woman that really wants to do what's right. So Hashem said, no, very good, you want to do what's right, so I got to help you do what's right. And the Chazal tell us that a goy that is keep Shabbos is chayav misa. So she was not allowed to keep Shabbos. If she would be keeping Shabbos, be chayav misa. So what does Hashem do? So he puts in her this push to smoke, so thereby being mechal Shabbos and not being chayav misa. And at the same time, of course, it aroused suspicion, and which led to it being checked into, and then now, she can correct the situation. And Rabbi Yashiv concluded, and he said, and take my word for it, once she goes through the conversion process and she'll be a real Gioret, you'll see she's not going to want to smoke anymore on Shabbos. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. She converted and said no tiber for smoking, totally left her. We have another Shaila here with the Mechachtos again. It was once a bacher. It was a Shomer Torah mitzvah, and he happened to be in the North Tel Aviv area, and he passes by a store that has fancy clothes or whatever, and he passes by the window, and he sees a wool coat in the window, and he says, wow, it's exactly the coat I'm looking for. So he goes in, he measures, puts it on, tries it on for size, and perfect, exactly what he's looking for. So he goes in, how much? It was pretty expensive, but okay, it's what he was looking for, so he paid. And he said, thank you very much, he took the coat. What happens? He goes back to Yerushalayim, where he's from, and he gives it in to the laboratory for Shatnez checking. He gets a call from the lab and says, this coat you bought is not a wool coat. It's a wool and linen coat. It's totally Shatnez, the entire thing. He says, if we were to even try to fix such a thing, he said, it would cost you more than the whole coat costs you, just to fix it. So the Bacher took the coat back and made his way straight back to the store in North Tel Aviv. So he came in and he said, excuse me, I want my money back. He says, why? What's wrong? What's wrong? It's a good coat. What's wrong? Why do you want your money back? He says, a good coat. It's Shatnez. So he says, what? It's total chiloni, not religious, no. He says, Shatnez? He goes, yeah, it's Shatnez. He goes, Shatnez. He says, I've heard that word maybe once before. Is that a Yiddish word or something? So he said, no, it's not a Yiddish word, right? It's wool and linen, and the Torah forbids a person to wear something wool and linen, and I want my money back. So he says, oh, listen to me. I've been selling coats here for years, and not once did I ever hear of such a thing. So I don't know what you're talking about. So forget it. I'm not going to give you your money back. So he said, oh, it's not fair. Anyways, back and forth. So finally, the store owner agreed. He said, I'll tell you what. If you can bring me a letter from a recognized rabbi, you know, that in fact I have to give you your money back, I'll do so. It has to be some real, you know, real psak, you know. So the bacher said, okay, I'll check into it. So he again went and asked Rav Zilberstein. And first, something we mentioned earlier on today's shir, that if you sell something which is aser, we mentioned before, is that's ground for mechachtos. You can renege on the deal because you can't sell something which is aser. And okay, shatnez is definitely an iser. It's an iser Torah. And therefore, on one side, it's one side of the story that he could, you know, ask for his money back because he sold him something which is iser. However, on the other side, something else we mentioned today, that when it comes to dealings of mechach mamkar, you always go by like the minag, you know, minag amakom, what people consider also a mum, something a blemish, something no good. If that's what generally how people look at it, you have a right to get your money back. But if your average person in this place or whatever would not see this as being a blemish, so then you can't say, yeah, but to me it is whatever, I want my money back. It goes by the general. And since, therefore, over here where this it was sold, you know, in North Tel Aviv, people don't look at Chardonnays as being something wrong, right? And therefore, if you buy something and then you want to return it, and something where the minig is that people don't consider that a moon, you would have to say prior to purchasing it, make it explicit that, look, I'm buying this only on a condition that this X, Y, and Z doesn't have this and this problem. And then if it does, okay, you have a right. Again, this bacher didn't say, I'm buying this on the condition it doesn't have shot, and he didn't say anything. And since the minig, quote unquote, at that place, but people don't care about these things, so that's the other side of the coin. Okay, one side you're not allowed to sell something yes, so the other side is there's another halacha which you have to go by what the minig is of the place. What is accepted was considered a blemish. So, what do we do over here? So, the final psak was in fact that he has a right to return the coat and get his money back. He said, why? The explanation was given is because a coat like this that has chardonnays, is full of chardonnays, says it's not, doesn't have any value at all. It's like he sold him, dirt. Dirt has no value, some dirt, stones, whatever. It's like he sold him dirt and stones. Nothing, it has no value to it. And not only that, he says dirt and stones, okay, it's pretty, it's valueless, but Chardonnays, it's not only that it's valueless, it's dangerous. In fact, he brings the Ricanti that writes that the explanation of the word Chardonnays, the Chachmei Kabbalah say that there is a certain Satan that is his job is to control those people that wear chardonnays, and he can damage them. It's very dangerous, and he said it's hinted to in the word chardonnays is the same letter satan az, a strong satan. There's a certain satan that's so therefore it's not just nothing. It's worse than nothing. Nothing can harm you, but this is something that can harm you, and therefore he said this is this garment is worthless and dangerous. And therefore, you have a right. You have every right to return it, just like something that is aser behana, for example, that you can't get any pleasure from. Whatever, you'd be allowed to return because it's worthless, it's meaningless, and you can get it. Okay. So that was the psak that the bacher was given, that he has a right to return it. And the letter was given. However, the bacher had an interesting shaila. He said, "Okay, but now that I'm thinking about it, what's going to be? I'm going to take this coat, bring it back to the guy, show him the letter. He's going to say, okay, right, okay, look, you're right. He's going to give me my money back. I'm going to give him the coat back. and he's going to go sell it to somebody else. And it's who's going to be wearing shatnez. So isn't that called that I'm over on lifnei iver? I'm putting a stumbling block in front of a person because I'm giving them my, you know, this coat, and they're going to, somebody else is going to wear it, and, you know, because of me. Interesting shaila. However, Rav Zilberstein says, no, you don't have to worry about that. Why? He says, because we said the coat is worthless. As a result, he said, you didn't make, you were not zocha in it. You didn't, like, acquire it really halachically. Because you took something which is nothing. And therefore, you didn't really make a real acquisition on it. Memele, it's really considered as if it's still in the possession of the store owner the whole time, because you didn't acquire it halachically. And when you return it, so it's not like you gave your thing to somebody or something that can, you know, leaf the community, therefore you'd be over on leaf naiver. Therefore, you don't have a, as far as that goes, you don't have to worry about the yisur leaf naiver. You can give the coat back and get your money back. Shal zoiche to take care in all our dealings, monetary dealings, and our dealings bin adam l'chavero, and that should lead us to our hakpara also, of course, bin adam l'makom, and Hashem should see all our efforts and crown them with the reward, bringing Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mehera v'yameinu.